By the power of zombie takeout, I have the power!
Scott? Wrong movie.
Really?
What's up? Welcome to episode 209 of Zombie
Takeout,
the B-Movie and Cult Movie Podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's movie, just want to do something a little different. Going to recommend a TV show. And a lot of people have, you know, raved about this one, so it's nothing obscure. But I recently caught up on Orphan Black, and I have to say it is one of the best science fiction series I have seen in a very long time, like on par with Firefly. If you're not watching and you like science fiction, really do yourself a favor and catch up. It should be on demand or in demand or whatever your local cable satellite service has. Also, the lead actress, Tatiana Maslany, plays 9 characters in these 20 episodes they've done so far.
So it's like that Michael Keaton movie, Multiplicity?
Sort of, except she is scary good. She's like Meryl Streep, Kevin Spacey good.
Well, you know, high thief kind of thing going on?
As I've said before, I have a hard time suspending disbelief. I analyze everything. I always look for the technical stuff. I completely bought into every character. She does scenes where it's just 3 or 4 characters. She plays all of them, and I completely bought the conceit. They were different people to me.
Oh, so it's like a Phil Collins video where, you know, she's playing all the instruments and stuff?
Kind of.
Or Alanis Morissette.
Anyway, if you haven't seen it, please do yourself a favor, check it out. And on to this week's movie, which is from 1983, Deathstalker, and of course the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by the Noun of Abstract Concept. It's like Mad Libs for fantasy fiction.
And also by for fuck's sake.
Mm-hmm.
All right, this, I know I try to find superlatives with each and every movie we do, but I have to say, this has to be the wafferest thin plot we've ever done.
One of my title suggestions was Fake Conan and the Screenplay of Convolution.
So I think the only like little bit of weirdness at the beginning was the scene where our hero is, and he's almost named Hero, but he's named Deathstalker for some reason.
Hero would have been better.
Death. It would have been. Picture Ben Stiller ripped with the wig, blonde wig on. But anyway.
I just kept thinking, how much Keefe is in this movie? Miles O'Keefe. One for the MST fans.
Anyway, he's talking with this king who wants to send him on a quest, but he turns him down. Which is the only like unusual part of the whole movie, really, where it doesn't follow the cookie cutter story, where he's just like, there's nothing in it for me. I could care less. But then instead gets this mission from an old crone somewhere. I'm not even sure how I think he knew her already. It was kind of, they don't like establish anything. It was just kind of like, oh, you're an old crone, and of course I'm going to be hanging out with you.
We were kind of dropped into the middle of the quest.
Right. She talks about this nonsense about the three powers and controlling the power to become the power. It's kind of like a Jackie Mason bit.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell it was. So...
And he didn't even have a sword to lift up at that point.
Right, he didn't even have the sword, which was the first power. But of course, that since he's to be the power and he can do whatever he wants, he accepts this mission and goes off, just pretty much stumbling upon the first power, which is of course the sword.
Mm-hmm.
gets turned into a child for some reason for a minute, probably some producer's or backer's kid that they wanted to work into the film somehow.
That's the real life reason. The conceit was there was a thief who had been caught in the cave and turned into an imp 30 years ago, and he needed a child who was not a child to lead him out. And
Right, if
somehow
that
the sword turned him into a child so he could lead the imp out, who then turned into a guy who was a thief.
Right, like I said, some backer or producer had a kid who wanted to be, they wanted them to be in a movie, and so that's what happened, pretty much. It was pretty obvious.
And I'm slightly ashamed that I actually remember that bit of lore.
Well, yeah, there's so many convoluted things to remember from this, but he that's his first companion, is this person, this old person who was a warrior at one point and is now pretty much just professional comic relief. Yeah, I don't think he was actually a thief.
The Wikipedia description summary calls him a thief. That's where I pulled that from. I don't know if he actually says it in the movie.
Well, yeah, he kind of plays that part where he looks like the thief. You know, he doesn't wear armor, doesn't really have weapons, just kind of falls into a pool and gets laughed at.
And speaking of
Literally.
armor,
That's it. Yes, his other companion, his next companion, chose to ride with the top down, shall we say.
he has belly armor. Like a belly shirt, but armor.
Oh, that dude.
Midriff exposing armor.
I was thinking
Oh, yeah.
of
He chose to ride with the top down, yes.
the one who rides with the top down, but that's right. He gets another companion before her, and I'm not sure what he was supposed to be or anything. He was the bad guy's henchman, I guess, and they pretty much knew he was the henchman,
Yeah, it was confusing.
but he said, "Oh,
Initially,
I'm."
he's just this, annoyingly good-looking, charming knight who helps them out, and or who Hugh Deathstalker helps. I forget exactly what happened.
Yes, Deathstalker helps out in the middle of
Yeah.
a bind, and it, really, it's just that it turns out that they're all of these warriors are on their way to this sorcerer's castle or fortress or whatever that's made out of papier mâché to have a tournament, and even though they say we're relaxing tonight, the tournament's tomorrow, he still starts a big brawl between them anyway. And so, in other words, the movie's about a trip to a tournament for them to fight that they fight along the way to, with lots of titties thrown in
Yes.
and thongs, of course.
And a lot of rape scenes.
Yes. Lots of rape. And I really could see hilarity ensues from
Yeah.
there. That's about as detailed of a plot as it gets, honestly.
Although it doesn't really.
Yeah, it does not.
Now, the first thing that grabbed me about this movie was literally the title logo, the word Deathstalker. In silver, like metallic silver, with two daggers for T's. Looks like something a hair metal band would have come up with.
Oh, definitely.
And I think it's probably slightly unfair for me to be reviewing this now because Game of Thrones ended like less than a week ago. And I can't help but compare the two because, fantasy fiction.
I have not been watching Game of Thrones yet. Yet. I'm gonna probably get that's on the
You
Netflix
must.
queue in just a few discs. But honestly, it doesn't get any better if you haven't watched it.
But there is one thing that did remind me of Game of Thrones. There is a copious amount of nudity in this movie,
Right.
which was really its only saving grace. Well, that and the costumes that looked like they were borrowed from the Road Warrior.
Yeah, the whole absurdity though of a female warrior fighting, sword fighting topless.
There's an ongoing debate about female armor in video games, about it being too skimpy and unrealistic. This pushes that to the most absurd degree. She, when we first meet her, is topless in just wearing a G-string.
Well, I think they take the D&D rule about the barbarian who is not supposed to wear armor.
Ah, okay.
I think Howard Cohen, the guy who wrote this, had to have played Dungeons and Dragons
Well,
some.
yeah, there's a lot of influence, obviously. Well, it's fantasy fiction. You're either going to rip off Tolkien or Dandy.
Like, but there were just things that he knew that you would only know if you've played, you know? And that was just one of them. I mean, the barbarian doesn't wear, should not wear armor.
But she was the barbarian?
She was one of them, yeah. Stalker was the other.
Not sure, he didn't wear armor either.
Yeah.
I will say the fight scenes were better choreographed than I was expecting. They weren't well choreographed, but I was expecting, you know, Zatoichi level. They actually did put some time into the choreography.
And they actually had some horseback riding there too, huh?
And there was a noticeable lack of dialogue in the beginning.
Well.
Normally that would be merciful in a movie like this. In this case, it just made it awkward.
Yeah.
And you mentioned the sets in the castle. We're not simply saying they look like papier-mâché because they were. They literally look like papier-mâché.
Oh, yeah.
Forbidden Zone had more realistic-looking sets.
I would say this made Hawk the Slayer look like Pulp Fiction.
Absolutely.
But you know what? As bad as we are saying this is,
mm-hmm.
this was still more believable than Highlander 2.
Yeah, yeah.
His first rape. When he saves the woman from being raped, and it's more consensual because, of course, he breaks her free at least before attempting to rape her. That was more realistic than them fucking in the alley.
True. Or at least not as sudden and random.
Right.
And I have to give it a little credit because the creature designs were interesting. They weren't well done, but they were interesting. You know, the execution wasn't great, but the designs were interesting.
Yeah, they almost seemed a little out of place, but they were interesting at least. Like the little thing eating the pieces of the kid, which is probably another producer's son or backer's son. In fact, it probably they could have very well been brothers, the young kid and that kid that was getting eaten.
Yeah, yeah.
Just kind of like, I got boys, they want to be in the movie. I'll give you this much money to make it, but you got to have them in the film somehow.
Oh, and there was an interesting choice of weaponry. Lana Clarkson, who played the female barbarian, she used a real sword.
Really?
Why would you give one actor a real sword?
I don't know.
I mean, and maybe she's trained, I don't know, but if she's not, then that was really dangerous.
How do you know that was a real sword?
Oh, that was in the trivia on IMDb.
That's fucking insane.
Yeah.
It couldn't have been, you know...
Sharpened, probably not. Right. But those kinds of swords weren't sharp. They were just heavy.
Yeah, you just beat somebody with it.
Yeah. Now, there are some very serious problems with this movie.
Oh my god, yeah.
For me personally, I didn't like any of the characters. The script was boring. There were repeated rape scenes.
The soundtrack should be piped through Guantanamo Bay.
The Warriors had a better soundtrack.
Oh, yeah.
And I just got the feeling that they weren't, like, trying and failing to make a good movie. And they weren't making a deliberately bad movie. They just didn't care.
It is very strange. In fact, that is really the most entertaining part of this entire film.
There was something entertaining?
Is to figure out, what the fuck were they thinking?
Well, they were thinking that Conan was just a big success, and so they're going to ride its coattails. Deathstalker was a modest hit at the box office, and its success is mostly due to its release at a time when Conan the Barbarian was creating a market for sword and sorcery films. Nevertheless, because the film was made on a tight budget, it proved to be a commercial success in the main, and encouraged Roger Corman and Argentinian producer-director Hector Olivera to collaborate again to produce Barbarian Queen with Lana Clarkson in the title role. So they did it again. Actually, well, we'll get to sequels and remakes. They did it a few times, but...
Oh, yeah.
This was a success. In the sense that, you know, all of the Asylum movies are successes. You know, they beat their budget.
Well, yeah, and this made some money back. I mean, even if it made modest box office, it probably made a lot more on cable and video than anything else.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd seen this on video, of course. I didn't even know this something like this even made it to the box office.
Now, I was talking about the fight choreography. That really was strictly in the beginning of the movie when it was smaller fights.
Yeah.
When they got to the actual tournament, it looked very Three Stooges.
Oh, wow. The tournament was just... I didn't even know why they bothered. You know? Like, the scene before, the fight orgy before this tournament is. If you want to think that the movie was actually on its hinges somehow and could have done something, once they got to that scene where, with the quarter, it really was just a fight orgy because it was kind of like there was mud wrestling and just it was chaos. It just anything when hope went out the window that this was going to somehow have a story, you know? It's even thinner than most martial art movies, which usually is just, I don't know if we've ever talked about that old thing I had about the porn and martial art movies
Or actually, I thought about that with Mortal Kombat.
where they had like the same, you know, the same plot formula, only, you know, fighting and fucking are interchanged. Well, of course, this one went one upped it and
Fighting and
combined
fucking at the same
them
time, yes.
both. Yes.
And the fight between Deathstalker and the Belly Shirt Knight, was it just me or did it look like a pro wrestling match?
Well, it's funny because the scene before that, the sorcerer, the evil sorcerer, turned one of his henchmen into a woman to seduce slash kill him, which in this movie is one and the same. He failed and almost got raped. And of course, the question of my notes was, well, you know, would it have been a little too homoerotic if he fucked the transgender?
I was kind of hoping he would change back in the middle.
And then right after that scene, we had two oily dudes wrestling. And of course, in my notes, not that there's anything wrong with that.
And also, just to explain our intro this week, how many times does he hold the sword up in the air? Like 6 times?
Oh, and that wig that they had him, or whatever they did with his hair.
Like Pageboy style blonde wig, holding the sword up in the air. I would give it a 5 if he once said, "By the power of Grayskull."
And if any motherfucker actually says the hair was for historical accuracy or authenticity, look at the title of the show. They would not have been wearing thongs.
No.
No elastic.
That's true. Right, I'm done with my notes.
Let's see. I'd say I did have one little thing that I found the most enjoyable about this. I love the look on the villain's face when he was thwarted, when he did this, like, this crazy, terrible special effect spell that, of course, just had no effect on Deathstalker because he had the powers. He gets this look on his face of, and you can clearly see the expression on his face of, oh, that should have done more.
The villain, I have to admit, was moderately enjoyable.
I almost fell out of my damn chair with just this whole anticlimactic. I'm going to cast this spell, and it's the big confrontation between good and evil. And, you know, it just pretty much fizzles. And he has this look on his face of, oh, that, yeah, should have done more. But that's pretty much the sum up the movie.
Yeah, that should have done more, exactly.
I kept expecting to see Graham Chapman come out and say, "What an eccentric performance."
Or this is getting entirely too silly. All right, on to sequels and remakes.
On the sequels and remakes, holy shit.
Now, it saddens me to say that this spawned 3 sequels: Deathstalker 2, Duel of the Titans; Deathstalker 3, The Warriors from Hell; and Deathstalker 4, March of the Titans.
Now, I have seen the second one, I believe. I don't know if I've seen the third one.
Why?
Because we just watched these.
It was on TV.
We just, like, rent, you know, these movies.
Oh, okay.
And honestly, considering we were, you know, moderately amused by this movie back then, I believe Deathstalker 2 was on our list of one of the worst movies we've ever seen.
Oh God.
Now, we thought The Navigator was for a
Oh,
while, but of
yeah.
course that when we saw that again, because
You just weren't old enough for
we were expecting
it.
something like akin to Deathstalker when we rented The
Okay,
Navigator.
right.
But if I remember right, the second one, and we're going to have to do it, because I tell you, if this held up as a bad movie, the second one has this shrill woman who yells "Stalker" throughout half the film.
I almost tapped that on this one, man.
This was kind of like Conan meets the Room, though. But anyway, we'll have to. So yeah, I am very curious to see the other ones to see how they hold up.
All right, on to brains.
On the brains. Oh, wait a minute, if we should this be remade?
No. Never. Like, burn the script.
There wasn't a script. Who are you kidding?
Fair enough.
There obviously was not a script. It was a very cobbled together. They're gonna go fight on their way to fight at the tournament. That's it. That's really the entire film.
Pull a Thanksgiving 2 and destroy every copy, including the digital ones.
All right.
On to
So yeah,
brains.
on to braids.
Now, this had a couple of redeeming factors, a lot of nudity, and I did enjoy the villain, but the sheer idiocy of all of it and the repeated rape scenes, just, I gotta give it a zero.
A zero, even though it had a decent villain, and
It's just, it was painful.
I thought it was so bad it was good, kind of. I mean, it definitely pulls that off, where it's what Asylum aspires to do.
Wow.
There were, of course, people that did not care. There were people who believed that this was going to make their career. And then there were very obvious, I want my kid in this movie.
Yeah.
And they didn't get meta about it either. They still tried to play it along as an honest to goodness movie. But yes, I would definitely recommend seeing it, because it's just one of those where, yeah.
Are you going for?
Yeah, I'm going for
It's maybe our biggest split so far.
it.
All right, what have we learned?
Wow, I learned a lot from this movie. I learned when you unite the powers, you'll be the power, and you can do anything, even make inexplicable sequels. I also learned that you can use saving throws for birth control. And if you're going to hang out with Phil Spector, you should wear Kevlar and lots of it.
Yes. And I learned that sometimes copious amounts of nudity just aren't enough. And I should have learned that from Showgirls, but this one really hit the lesson home. All right, so until next week when we'll be reviewing Blue Velvet, go to zombietakeout.com, check out the album art, the episode description, of course the episode itself, which you're already listening to, links to find us on Facebook, Twitter, Google Plus, and YouTube, links to subscribe via RSS and iTunes. Please leave us a rating and a review on iTunes, we'd really appreciate it. You'll also find the movie list, every movie we've done so far, and every movie we're going to review, up through 217, I believe, now. You also find the request form. If you've got a movie you'd like to hear us review, please leave it on the request form, and of course the recommendations list. Can't believe you wanted to put it on the rec list.
If you want to watch a bad movie,
Watch
this
The
is one of
Room.
the watch. Yeah, but The Room doesn't have the insanity that this one does. Or maybe the cheapness that this one
Well,
does.
fair, that's true, that's true.
There was nothing papier-mâché in The Room.
Good point, good point. You can also email us zombietakeout@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 414-368-ZT01 or for the alphanumerically challenged 414-368-9861. Always remember that you will always be calling from the middle of Milwaukee. And of course, until next time, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you
There
are.
you are.
Oh, my Lord. This is very uncomfortable.
By the power of Grayskull.
No.
I have the power.
Wasn't it by the power of Zombie Takeout?
Oh.
We're going to play it as if it's a normal Zombie Takeout intro, just the wrong movie.
Oh, okay.
What's up? What's up? Welcome to episode 209 of Zombie Takeout.
Zombie Takeout.
The B-Movie and Cult Movie Podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scotto.
Move your mic back.
Yeah, I know.
Want to take that again?
That's going to be a great outtake.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to move the microphone away from my face.
Let's just take that in the beginning again.
Could you move it back, please, so we could hear you?
All right, ready?
All right.